This is the John Favreau's My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya. Monica, what's wrong?
My fucking God.
What did you do?
I burned my tongue yesterday and I just drank hot ass tea.
You dumb bitch.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrupt our
you
flow.
You dumb bitch.
That's very aggressive from someone of your stature. You're too low on
I'm
the
sorry,
socioeconomic
I have a degree,
class.
So
you are
who's
too
the dumber bitch.
Low on the socioeconomic flagpole.
I'm going to Fashion Week
to call me. Call me a dumb bitch.
Watch your mouth.
From Prada to nada. That's all I have to say to you, wench.
No, I'm not a to Prada, the sequel.
The concubine that sits before me is not the one that I met.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Hello, Cleor. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, Ima.
Ima, no, the condensation. You dirty mongrel.
We need to watch that show at some point.
Yeah, I've only seen that one clip. You know that
H2R?
That TikTok of that guy being like, Ima, no, the condensation.
Cleor. Oh, God.
It's too good.
Oh, God.
It's like that thing in Fantasmic when, in Pinocchio, when Pinocchio is like, oh, no, it's the guy. It's the Jiminy Cricket guy. And he's like, Pinocchio. It's so disturbing.
That you did that shockingly well.
I did.
Can you just make yourself sound like you're underwater at all times?
No. I have to really think about it.
Do it again.
I can't.
The pressure.
Let's all go to the movies.
Back to the theater.
Oh, God. If you have not seen Nicole Kidman do the like pre-trailers trailer.
You don't even need to go see. I mean, go buy a ticket to see the movie, obviously, but Jesus. Leave after she announces it because you won't see anything better than
There's
that.
There's nothing better than Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
Walking down in her stilettos in the disgusting ass AMC.
In her glittery silver pinstripe suit.
It is genuinely a sight to see.
How much did AMC pay Nicole?
I feel like they paid her a lump sum.
Or they were just like, Nicole, we really need to do this. We really need to get people back in theater. And she'd like, I'll do it for free. Pror Barnar.
I'm hurting. It hurts me when you do things like this.
Does it?
It does.
I think you'd like it.
Okay. What is today's episode about, Jessica?
Today's episode is about everyone's favorite holiday, right?
Is it Halloween?
Nar.
Is it Christmas?
Nar.
Is it Easter?
Nar. We're talking about Valentine's Day today because Valentine's Day is coming up soon, everyone.
When?
And even if you hate Valentine's Day, I think you'll love all these movies.
Right? Oh, I think you'll adore these movies. You've either seen them already and love them, or you have never seen them before and will love them.
And you should love them.
There's no in between.
Yeah, we did pick a little bit of a theme. I mean, obviously Valentine's Day is the theme, but we chose unexpected romance.
Yes, romance in the most unexpected fashion.
Yes.
And it's these three films that we will be talking to you today for a score.
In my thesis, I will.
Stop. Not everything is graduate school.
You wouldn't know because like you're not in grad school, but
it's true.
It's fine.
That's true. I didn't even feel it. I didn't even finish college.
Yeah, fuck you. You dumb bitch. Yeah, that's what we call a callback.
That's not true. Did you go to USC?
Fight on. Fight the fuck on.
What's his name? Thomas the Trojan?
Tommy Trojan.
Am I thinking of Thomas the Train?
Yeah.
There and you're two, there four, there six, there eight.
Da, 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 Tommy da, Trojan da. And his horse Traveler.
Ew. That is not as sexy as the USC marketing team thinks it is.
Traveler.
Tommy Trojan and his horse, the Traveler?
No, not the it's just Traveler.
Traveler? That's even worse.
Like Seabiscuit, but Traveler.
That's disgusting. What was that movie Tobey Maguire was in? Seabiscuit. It was Seabiscuit.
I think so.
Was it not Secretariat?
Or was it My Dog Skip?
It was Secretariat. It was about a horse.
A horse.
I'm gonna go see Equus. A man about a horse. It was not Equus. It was not Equus.
I wish a lot of things weren't Equus.
Was it Spirit Horse of Dreams?
Spirit. What's the one about the Cimarron? Stallion of the Cimarron.
Stallion of the Cimarron.
Voiced by Matt Damon.
Oh, dude, no way.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
He narrates Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, the one that inspired the Wild and Reckless flavor at Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors.
Love that flavor. Better flavor than Wild and Reckless, which is also a sorbet. Everything at Baskin-Robbins is a sorbet. I don't know why. It's a sherbet or a sorbet.
Also, I refuse to pronounce sherbet correctly.
Sherbet. What's it called?
Sherbet.
Sherbet? Shut the
There's
fuck
no
up.
There's no second R.
No.
Yeah.
It's French. Sherbet. Sherbet. Sherbet.
Either way, we'd be wrong.
Stop. There's Wild and Reckless, which is by Spirit. Spirit by Spirit.
Spirit by Spirit Airlines.
Mark Jacobs. Mark by Mark Jacobs. And then the other sherbet or sorbet is the blue one. From Surf's Up.
Surf's Up.
That one's, I think, I don't know, Blue Lagoon.
I don't fucking know.
Blue Lampoon. Ocean. Ocean National and the Vacation. Moon. I don't know. What's it? What is it? Wait, Aaron, what is it called? We research it.
We did.
Hurry up.
It's not expired. It's retired.
It's expired.
Isn't it?
No, it's not. It is retired.
It is. But Wild and Reckless is still there.
It stands the test of time.
I know that this
time.
Is really important to all of you that we get the facts of
Wild and Reckless is the purple one. Surf's
yeah, the purple
up
and
one.
Orange and green one.
Yeah. Surf's Up is blue and white.
Surf's Up.
It's the one with Shia LaBeouf and the guy from Napoleon Dynamite.
Splish, splash,
splash. I was taking a bath.
Saturday night.
And we'll be right back.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now back to the show.
Okay, Monica, I think we should get into the movies.
I agree.
What
anyway,
do you think?
I agree.
I hope you all fall in love with these films.
There's so much that I hate about you.
But me too.
That made the top of the list. That reason.
I do copywriting for my job, and our Valentine's email, I'm just like, fall in love with designer style.
Stop.
Pat's self on the shoulder.
Guys.
Good work.
She went to USC.
Yeah, baby. This is what they teach you. This is what Tommy the Trojan teaches you in your private tutoring sessions.
Ew. I don't want to know.
Okay, Monica. Tell me about the first movie.
I shall.
Since you didn't write me a history of Valentine's Day like I requested.
You didn't fucking request it.
Well,
if you had requested it, I would have written it.
Anticipating needs is supposed to be one of your professional strong suits.
It would have been a written, and I did not writ it because you did not ask for it.
Okay, fine.
And it was written on the stone. All right.
Tell me.
Our first movie today is Harold and Maud.
Harold and Maud.
Harold and Maud. It came out in 1971. It was directed by Hal Ashby. Screenplay by Colin Higgins. A novelization by Higgins was released alongside the film.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They had a book called Harold and Maude.
That's cool.
It's basically the exact same thing, except there are like a few little, you know.
Except on pages?
Not the software by Apple. Like the real, like on pieces of paper bound together.
Pipa?
What some might refer to as a book.
Pipa.
Yes. This cult classic pairs Bud Cort as a deadpan, disillusioned 20-year-old obsessed with suicide named Harold. Wow. And a lovable Ruth Gordon as a fun-loving 80-year-old eccentric named Maud. They meet at a funeral and develop a taboo romantic relationship in which they explore the tired theme of the meaning of life with a fresh perspective.
Perspective.
Bonus points to whoever knows where that is.
Why didn't we do Ratatouille for this? Unexpected love between
Linguini and Remy.
I was going to say between Ego and Remy.
That's true. Honestly, Remy and anyone, Remy can get it.
Remy can get it.
I feel like he exudes so much sexual energy.
He has big dick energy for sure.
He does. For he and Pete rat, Davidson. Shocking. Have, yeah, they're basically the same. They're the same. I feel like Pete Davidson could play Remy the Rat in the live action Ratatouille.
No one would bat an eye.
The one coming in 2023.
He does
look
rather rodent like.
He does, doesn't
Something
he?
Something about the teeth.
Maybe.
And the beady eyes from all the weed.
True. True. Absolutely true.
Okay, back to Harold and Maude. I'm so sorry.
Please. Jessica, this was your pick.
Was my pick.
Give us your overarching.
Okay, well, had you
thoughts.
Seen it before?
I had not seen it before.
Okay, I had seen it once before. And I liked it the first time, but I was like, nah. I thought it was a really good movie, but I had no interest in watching it again. And then when we talked about doing like an unexpected romance episode, I was like, Harold and Maude's like one of the most shocking romantic films ever. And it's one of the most like iconic romantic films ever.
Yeah. And The Graduate.
And The Graduate. Yes, correct. And also I feel like in the spirit of a lot of people screaming about like controversial age differences.
Oh God.
And then this being a film that everyone loves, I was like, let's watch it again. Let's explore this. Shall we?
We shall. I guess Jessica's feeling saucy today.
You know, I'm feeling spicy. No, but honestly, this movie, just like right off the bat, is such a unique film. And it's so beautifully shot. Like there's some really, really beautiful cinematography. Cat Stevens did the entire soundtrack and scoring for this movie.
So iconic. So good.
And you're like, oh my God, this is so happy. And it feels like kind of folksy. And then like the whole opening scene, you're just like, yeah, I'm ready. And then fucking Harold is writing a suicide note and pretending to hang himself in front of his mom. And then his mom is just like, Harold, stop it.
You know, this movie, this movie received the most insanely mixed reviews by critics because a lot of people couldn't handle the fact that he was like toying with or like talking about suicide in this like,
yeah,
it's very much a black comedy.
Yes.
It is very much a black comedy. There's a lot of like insane exploration of like what it actually means to be alive and what it means to be like, not feeling positive about yourself, but being okay with yourself.
Yeah.
Being very neutral with yourself.
Yeah.
And that is something that was not like explored very much. Mm-hmm. It's either you are in absolute, like you are tortured by the very thought of you being alive.
Yes.
Or you think you're the shit. Mm-hmm. That's basically like the two lines that we cross for movies like this. But like in this movie, we're just talking about someone who wants to feel okay with himself. Like just wants to wake up one morning and not have any kind of thought.
Mm-hmm.
True neutrality about him being on earth, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think it's about like taking control of your life in whatever way that means to you. Because then on the other side of that, we have Ruth Gordon, who's amazing in this movie. I think she won an Oscar for this movie, or she was nominated.
I'd believe it.
But anyway, she's amazing. And she plays fucking almost 80-year-old Maude. And so like Harold fucking hates life, or rather he doesn't hate life. He just doesn't like see much joy in it.
Yeah.
And whereas she finds joy in kind of everything because she has the ultimate control over everything in her life because she just is truly making of it what she wants.
Yeah, she's squeezing the salt out of the lime. I don't know. That's not a metaphor.
She's squeezing the salt out of that lime.
Oh God. Oh God, Maude.
Aaron didn't like that one.
Oh, that's not a good image.
But she loves life so much because she can do whatever she wants with it. And part of that is choosing how she dies, which is very shocking and surprising for a lot of people, I think. But in this movie, it's like kind of beautiful that like she can have a say over every aspect of her life, including how she wants to leave it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting.
It romanticizes that aspect for sure. I think for a lot of people who have anxiety, that's a really daunting thought.
Yes.
That like, oh, okay. Oh, I have control over everything in my life. Oh no.
Like, yeah. Well,
maybe not.
Through a conversation between her and Harold, you see that like she's from Europe. Like she was really fucked up by the various wars and saw a lot of tragedy. And so I think her having control over her entire life, plus how she dies when she watched so much death when she was younger, is like beautiful and a nice journey for her. I don't necessarily want to do it for myself, but you know.
Yeah. If you could die in any way, how would you die?
In my sleep.
In your sleep?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want anything too dramatic. Oh. I also want my body to be nice and preserved.
Oh, wow. Like with lotions and everything?
Well, I mean, ideally, I would have just put on like my night serum, so I'll look pretty nice in the morning.
Oh, my God.
No, but I don't want to, you know, like
you will not be a spring chicken.
No, but I don't want to fall to my death. And then if my family doesn't follow my wishes and plant me into the ground and turn me into a tree like I want, if instead they say, fuck grandma and put me in a casket, I want to look like myself rather than like, you know.
Look like yourself rather than, you know,
than if I had fallen off of a building to my death or something
kerplunk,
like that.
Splat. Exactly.
How would you want to die?
I don't want to know. Like, genuinely.
Oh, I don't want to know. You didn't ask me if I wanted to know. You asked me if I could choose. How would I choose?
Oh, if I could choose?
Yeah.
Probably so unexpectedly and violently. Like,
so you want some drama.
Oh, yeah. But like, that's what I mean when I say like, I really don't want to choose. Like, if it's like, I'm kind of standing in the middle of the street. I'm like crossing the street. Car hits me. Instant death. That's like, that's nice.
Want to get run over by the Yeasty Boys.
I mean, that'd be nice. If I die, burr me inside the Gucci store. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the vibes. I really just, when I die, I just want the people that knew me to like do with me what they will.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right, right.
If you want to cremate me, I feel that. Turn me into a diamond, baby. I'll sparkle. That's
I'll
fine.
Sparkle.
I've seen people turn people's ashes into all kinds of shit.
I know, it's kind of crazy.
I could be beads. I could be made into a necklace.
I could be beads.
I could be a tree. Bitch, I could be a water cooler.
That would be something.
Reincarnation, baby. That's all. That's
it. That's not the same thing.
That's all I need. It's just my ashes in new form. Matter to matter, ashes to ashes, and you know the
dust
other
to
one,
dust.
Yeah, that thing, dust to dust.
What the priests say.
What the priests say. What Father Ike says. What Father Arturo says. What all the fathers say.
Anyway. But the reason I like the love story in this movie so much is mostly like the I guess how it happens, the journey to the love,
yes.
Shall we say? Because Ruth Gordon. Maud is fucking insane. She like steals everyone's cars.
She's so crazy.
She's wild. I love that bitch.
If you watch this movie, literally just watch it for Ruth Gordon.
She's like, amazing.
She's amazing. She really embodies this like, I hesitate to say quirky because that really doesn't do it justice.
No,
she's not even eccentric. She's like her own flavor of human that is so fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
That all, like, it's like watching a car crash. You just cannot look away.
Yeah.
You have to keep staring at it. You have to know what happens after.
You have to. She wears the weirdest clothes and she makes like weird art. Like she makes like smell art.
Yes.
She has an olfactory machine, which I don't think that's a real thing, but it is in this movie.
She doesn't give a fuck.
No, like, she's the best. And she meets Bud Cort, Harold, at a funeral, fittingly.
Yes.
Because they both love funerals.
They both unite through death.
Yes, exactly. But they aren't like, what I appreciate about this movie is it's not trying to be like, there's such a big age difference, but they met and they fell in love.
No.
It's like they met at a funeral. He thought she was fucking weird. She was just like, you want to be friends? And then they became friends and they like steal cars together and shit. And then he realizes like, this is a woman who loves life and appreciates life. She's about to be 80 and she appreciates life more than anybody he's ever met in his entire life. And then he starts to fall in love with her and you can tell that like it surprises them as much as it surprises the audience.
Yeah.
Which is why I like it so much, because it doesn't feel like manufactured, I guess.
I mean, it's why everyone loves it so much. It's such a universally beloved story. I literally know like 7 different people who have told me that Harold and Maude is like either their favorite movie or their favorite book. Mm-hmm. Like for some reason they love this story. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of the reason is because like Maude and Harold are both just these individuals like floating through space that happen to find each other at this most inopportune time. Mm-hmm. Like of course they are at the polar opposite ends of life, and they somehow managed to find each other and through shared experience fell in love.
Yes.
Right? It's really not like, it's not that deep. They did not like find each other and then all of a sudden like everything was okay. They found each other and then slowly realized that they loved each other, but not because they were trying to love each other, not because they like saw each other and went, man, I want to marry that bitch someday. Like, that's not what happened.
Well, and like the ultimate message of the film is that like, even though they love each other and have this beautiful connection and relationship, it's still not something that makes her not want to end her life.
Yeah.
Because for her, she's like, yeah, you're a lovely addition to my life, but you're not my whole life. I'm not going to change my plans for you.
Yes.
Or like change what I want for you. Whereas he's like, why aren't you doing this for me? And then when she does actually die, I think he realizes like, oh, life is about myself. Yes. And like, I can take control. And then there's that beautiful ending shot where he like drives to the cliff.
It's beautiful.
It's so pretty. And that Cat Stevens song plays. I had that song stuck in my head for a week.
Forever. It's so good. Again, like I know like three different people who have that soundtrack and score on vinyl.
If you want to sing out.
If you want to be free.
There's a million ways to be.
You know who you are.
I want you to know that my last note on this is just in all caps. Himself was his most unexpected love.
Bro, I'm going to drop everything and go to school now. This is what I'm missing. I'm going to get into hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt so I can get like you.
I'm only in $40,000.
I know, but yeah. I would be in hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt if I didn't.
Fair. You'd be like, no, I must go to Harvard.
I must go to Yali. I must be a bulldog.
I'm going to Oxford and you can't stop me.
Bulldogs.
Aaron, just try to stop me.
Wow, wow, wow. Eli Yale. That's how I would go. And I would 100% like put all of my clothes and shit on like my FAFSA money. It would all get really messy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It would all get very, my accountant would be like, what the fuck? What did you do?
Your accountant, Jeremy.
There would be some embezzlement, some fraud.
I think if we ever get to go to like England together one day, we should go to Cambridge and pretend we're students see how long we can fit in.
Oh yeah.
Are you down for this con?
I'm absolutely down for the con. I'm down for any con.
I love a con. We're like the Brothers Bloom, except much less violent.
Oh, that was such a good movie.
Go listen to our, was that?
Ryan Johnson episode.
Ryan Johnson. That I was going to say Mark Ruffalo. We haven't done a Mark Ruffalo episode.
No, we haven't. Should we?
He has a lot of good TV stuff lately. Like, he's been doing that's really good.
Also, like, I refuse to do the Avengers.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Los Avengers. I mean, like, I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't want to do anything by Joss Whedon. I really don't. Why did you hiss at me?
I hissed at Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah. We all Joss bite our Whedon. Thumb at him. We really do.
Mm, yes.
I bite my thumb at you, sir.
Mm.
And then yes. Also my index finger and another finger. But I don't bite that one. I just pull it out.
And just put it up.
Yeah.
Put it in your face a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Joss. What kind of fucking name is Joss?
Idiot's names.
Idiota. Okay.
Should we move to the next movie?
Yes.
Okay. The second film is my personal favorite.
Ugh.
My personal fave. Ugh. Love this fucking movie. Ugh. We've been wanting to talk about it forever. The second movie is My Best Friend's Wedding, came out in 1997, directed by PJ Hogan, screenplay by Ronald Bass.
Oh, so
or
good.
Or is it Bass?
Oh, it's Bass.
All about that Bass.
Oh my fucking God. Yet another reason to hate you.
I'm the gift that keeps on giving. Okay. Childhood friends Julianne Potter, played by Julia Roberts, and Michael O'Neill, played by Dermot Mulroney, had a deal. I'm sorry, do you have something to say about his name?
I have nothing to say.
Okay. Had a deal to marry each other if they were still single by age 28. Now, 4 days before her 28th birthday, Michael announces that he's marrying a gorgeous 20-year-old named Kimberly, played by Cameron Diaz. Suddenly realizing that she's actually in love with him, Julianne vows to stop the wedding at all costs. However, when she is appointed maid of honor, things get even more complex. It's like crazy. The details in the movie are crazy.
It's
the
pretty-
twists, the turns.
Shut the fuck up. This is not the Incredicoaster.
The okay. twists.
The turns. First of all, because this episode will be going out before then, I must encourage you.
Please watch it.
Please watch it. Mm-hmm. This movie is being played at Cinespia on Saturday, February 13th.
Oh, I wish I could go to that.
Or is it Sunday? Someday, uh-huh. February 13th.
That's Sunday.
Okay, it's Sunday in the evening.
Uh-huh.
If you want to watch this movie for the first time, honestly, I'd recommend going there.
It's so fun.
You can smoke weed if you want to. You can buy disgusting caprese sandwiches if you want to. You can eat stale M&Ms if you want to.
And you'll sit among some headstones.
And you will pay like $200 for all of it. It's so good.
And in this movie, there's not one, but two musical numbers.
Yes. One at the beginning and one as a surprise.
What? And the one at the beginning, my favorite part, is that none of the cast is in it.
None of them. It's some random
ass.
It's
a random
people.
Group of people singing, wishing and hoping and thinking and praying. And then it goes into the movie and it has nothing to do with it.
It has.
We love it anyway.
Nothing to do with the movie. It is 100% there because the director was like, bruh, what if, hear me out, y'all. What if there was some three people, maybe four, let's say four. Let's say there's four people all singing this song and they're all wearing hideous dresses.
Yes.
What about it?
Let's
and
do
everyone's
it.
Like, yes, please, let's do it.
That's the money. That's the money right there.
That is the money.
My favorite part about this movie is that because it came out in 1997, this is also a world in which a 27-year-old was a full-ass established adult.
It's true.
Who's like a famous food critic.
And she's
basically... I'm 26 and I'm doing this.
Yes, this bitch is Anton Ego. Like, what the fuck?
And I also love, they bring her up, they bring out the food to her, and she takes a single bite, and she goes, I'm writing it up as...
What did she say?
She's she like, says, like, inventive.
Inventive and, oh, confident.
And everyone in the restaurant is just like, whew, thank God.
Thank God, our jobs are saved.
Thank God, Julianne Potter, renowned food critic, 27-year-old living in fucking New York. Thinks our food is inventive and creative.
God. Can you imagine her like reviewing like Roy Choi? Stop. Enough.
Also, what I also love about this movie is that Cameron Diaz is supposed to be 20 years old and she has the worst haircut I've ever seen. She's supposed to be 20 years old, but she's the most grounded, sensible person of the entire cast.
Yeah, she can't even legally drink, but there she is.
But there she is.
Like making emotionally mature decisions.
I know. And fucking Julia Roberts is the one being a big old bitch.
She is. So thus begins our analyses of this film. So number one, you should hate Julia Roberts if you watch this
movie.
Yeah,
she's a big old scene.
She's
next Tuesday.
A big old bitch. She does everything wrong in this movie. First of all, she takes too long to realize that the guy from New Girl is her soulmate.
Who?
The guy from New Girl. What's his face? Rupert
Dermot?
Meander.
Dermot Mulroney?
Yeah.
Yeah. She discovers it like right before he calls and is like, I'm engaged and I'm getting married in a week.
Yeah.
And then she's like, the fuck? Remember when we vowed to each other to marry each other at 28?
Which, by the way, it's okay. Like, they should have picked like 57.
This movie made me as a child be like, I need a marriage pact to marry my best friend at 28.
I don't know about that. I don't think there was ever a good marriage pact age.
Monica, you're 23 and you're married.
It's true.
You're like, I don't know why I did it.
I don't know why.
Tax reasons.
Honestly, yeah.
Aaron, how does that make you feel? Anyway, the thing that makes this movie amazing, though, genuinely, mm-hmm. other than like the plot, is that the chemistry between Julia Roberts and Dermot Mulroney is like,
off the chain.
Sickening.
It's off.
It's
the fucking
sickening.
Chain.
Because he's so cute and she's so beautiful and they love each other so much. But he's in love with Cameron.
And Cameron has her shit together and she has a billionaire papa.
And she's being so nice. She's like, none of my friends, I don't have really have any many friends. And like my maid of honor broke her leg line dancing. So you should be my maid of honor because you're Michael's best friend and I trust him.
Yes.
Big mistake, Cameron.
Massive mistake. Massive mistake, shrimp. What was I going to say? One of my favorite scenes in this movie is pretty early on when Cameron Diaz's character and Julia Roberts's character get to know each other in an elevator. And Cameron Diaz immediately reaches over to stop the elevator in order to tell Julia Roberts how she really feels about her, which ends up being, you win. Like, you win. It's the famous speech, like the famous you win speech that came from this movie.
Yeah.
But like, he puts you on a pedestal. He worships you. And I get to have him, and that's okay. Very emotionally mature for her age.
Incredibly, but also so frightening. If a woman did that to me and she was like, emergency brake on the elevator, you win. Like, take my money.
I love that Julia Roberts is just having a fucking panic attack because she was claustrophobic in that elevator. Uh-huh. I too would be having a panic attack if Cameron Diaz, Camarón Shrimp, decided to just stop the fucking elevator and tell me that I won. I'm like, won what? Won what? I'm about to die. Oh, God.
Well, but that's why the manipulation in this movie also makes you so sad, because you're like, Cameron is just being a sweet bitch.
Yeah.
And Julia Roberts is being like a real bitch. And, you know, it just makes me sad. It makes me sad. But also in this movie is Rupert Everett, who plays a lovely gay addition.
He does. And he essentially becomes her, I believe the term is beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he becomes her beard at one point in the movie, and he tries his best to act like her straight lover.
Yes.
Her straight fiance. And it's so hard because she hates PDA, right? And he hates, like, you know, women.
Yeah.
And so them trying to appear as a like loving couple is just like, it's ending so poorly.
Yes.
No one's believing them, but everyone loves Rupert.
Everyone loves him way more than they love Julian.
100%. And everyone's like, yes, this bitch can sing.
And then he is the one who delivers the second surprise musical number. Yes,
because he can sing.
Yes, babe. He sings a lovely Dionne Warwick song.
So
inside
good.
Of some sort of crab restaurant.
I believe it is a crab restaurant.
Because everyone in the background is wearing
the gloves.
Yeah, what are those called?
What are they called?
Claws.
Yes, claws.
How did I forget the name?
And with a gesture of my claws, and he was beautiful. Very few people will understand that reference.
It's fine, but it's fine,
if
it's
you
fine.
Do,
you're a real one.
You're a
Mr.
real
Mr. Grinch.
Oh.
Anyway,
and that's where it ended for me.
Okay, I have two more notes about this film. Okay. Are you ready for them?
I guess.
Okay. This movie does actually get like into some real feels.
It does.
It is rather heartbreaking because she does love him so much. And that makes you really sad to watch. And you know that he loves her, but just like not in the same way. Or rather, he tried to like give his heart to her previously, but she's just not like what he needs.
They're just so incompatible.
Yeah.
Like, he needs someone who really is okay with big love.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just not.
No.
Like, she's like water repellent.
Yeah.
Like, she just doesn't adhere to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really difficult as an audience member to like watch her repel him, even though you know that they love each other and they have such a beautiful connection, but she's just so unable to replicate that big love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's impossible. It's just, it would just never work. They would make each other miserable.
Yeah. And then they have that beautiful scene on the boat where they're like sailing, like going through this through Chicago.
I know. They're on the boat. Chicago has this like lake. It's like a giant lake.
River. I don't fucking know.
It's in Illinois. Illinois is a state.
And a state is in the United States of America. anyway, so they're on this boat And like their song comes on, which is The Way You Look Tonight.
Yes.
My mother cries every time this scene comes on in this movie.
Everyone cries every time the scene comes on.
I don't cry at this scene, but it is really sad because you can finally see her breaking down and being like, I'm so in love with him. Or I guess in her own way.
Mm-hmm. As much as she can love
someone. As much as she can in this moment. And he's just like so in love with Kimmy. But it almost feels like in that moment, he's almost like saying goodbye to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I think they'll still be friends. But like they can't be in the same way. No. Obviously anymore.
No.
It just can't happen. It's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate. Also, Paul Giamatti makes a cameo in this movie.
He does randomly. Randomly.
He plays a bellman.
A bellhop?
A bellhop.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he comforts Julia Roberts in the hallway in the hotel. Yeah.
It's crazy how many times we've seen Julia Roberts cry on screen.
I know.
It's absolutely bananas, bonkers bananas.
It really is. But it's anyway, spoiler alert, she does not steal him back.
No, hunties.
She does not succeed.
She does not get her mans.
But she does. They like... Because Cameron Diaz, like, obviously finds out that, like, she's in love with him, et cetera, et cetera.
Obviously.
And she gets pissed about it. But at the end, like, they all just kind of, like,
let it go.
They all just let it go. And they're just like, fuck it, man. The two of us are in love. We're going to get married. And then Julia Roberts loans them the song that she and Michael love, The Way You Look Tonight. And that's what their first dance is at the wedding.
Oh, my God.
It's so beautiful.
What did you think that your first song was going to be when you were like six? When you were like six and you were fantasizing about your wedding. And you were like, oh my God, it's going to be Toxic by Britney Spears.
I never fantasized about my song until I was a little older, I think. Oh, but wow. I think then I thought it was like some like fucking Michael Bublé song or something.
No. Mine was Toxic by Britney Spears.
Well, when you guys finally have a wedding reception, we're going to make it happen.
You'll just hear... Bum, bum, da-loom, da-loom, meow, meow, meow.
And
so
then Aaron starts twerking.
Stop it. Probably
Stop
the
it.
Worst wedding song in the history of all time.
Probably.
That and like...
Well, there might be worse ones.
The Lady is a Tramp.
No, that's definitely not the worst wedding song you could have.
I wonder what the worst one is.
Probably Something About Death.
Oh, dude, probably The Candy Shop.
Highway to Hell.
By 50 Cent.
Blurred Lines. Arnor.
That is a bad one. If you play Blurred Lines at your wedding, it's over.
Divorce him.
At that point, you can annul him.
This is true.
Annul it.
Monica, tell us about the third and final film.
I will. Oh, man.
This is your favorite.
This was my favorite. I love this movie. I love everything about this movie. This movie is a fucking gem. And I'm going to tell you about it. Run. This movie is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It came out in 2008. Directed by Nicholas Stoller. Screenplay by Jason Segel. I've heard it pronounced all these ways.
I say Segel
as well.
Like the bird.
Segel. I like to think of it. He's the Muppets guy. struggling musician Peter Bredder, played by Jason Segel, is better known as the boyfriend of TV star Sarah Marshall, played by the one and only Kristen Bell.
Yes, bitch.
After she unceremoniously dumps him, he feels lost and alone, but makes a last-ditch bid to get over it by going to Hawaii. However, she and her new boyfriend, played by Russell Brand, are there in the same hotel.
Chaos ensues.
Bam. Wow. First of all, this movie was shot on the North Shore on Oahu on, I think it was called like Turtle Beach Hotel or something.
I don't know.
It's beautiful. Like this movie is gorgeous.
Yeah, I want to go to Hawaii.
Setting this movie is gorgeous. It's stunning. Everyone looks beautiful. She looks great. Kristen Bell looks hot. Jason Segel looks, he looks like how he looks.
Jason Segel.
Yeah. And everyone is just like having a good time. Okay. This was a brilliant movie. He wrote it. I have no way of knowing if this is like autobiographical. Like if this fucking happened to him. Also, right off the bat, first thing I want to say, that is not how you compose TV shows.
I mean, it might be.
That's just not how it's done.
What if that's how he does?
I don't know that that's how he does it.
Well,
I think that's.
Are you a composer?
No.
Mm.
But I could be.
You are very musical.
I got YouTube. I got YouTube. I can
tickle the ivories.
I can learn anything. I got YouTube. I can learn it there. So I love everything about this movie. It's got this amazing, like, it's got this amazing bit / B plot about Jason Segel's character. I literally forget his name. So we're just going to call him
Peter. Peter Breder.
Oh, yes, Peter. Peter has this Dracula musical that he is working on throughout the movie and eventually puts up as a real musical. And mind you, this is a puppet musical.
Yeah, it's like an Avenue Q situation.
It's like an Avenue Q situation, but it's way better. Like, I would pay $3,000 to go see this on Broadway.
Broadway.
I love the concept. I love the song. I love everything about this musical. I love that Bill Hader has a small role in it.
I can't. Bill Hader's character in this movie is amazing.
Oh, he's 10 so out of 10, good.
Fucking insane. His shit on the Skype on the video call is my favorite. Hey, Peter, look, I'm in space.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Okay. Jason Segel is an incredible writer. So fucking funny. I think I like his comedy so much because he knows how to take like a garbage moment and somehow make it more garbage without being like insane.
Yeah.
It's like it could happen.
He pushes it to a realistic place.
Yeah.
And I think about the scene when I show someone like a scene that I think works really well without taking away from like the emotional aspect of the scene is I show them the scene where Sarah Marshall's breaking up with him at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And he's naked.
Oh, you see a couple moments of Jason Segel peen.
You literally see his wang. You see his wang just front and center. And that's his
real wang.
And that is his wang. Yeah.
It's this big.
It's like 13 crab ragoons all stacked next to each other. It's so good. And so I love showing them that scene because it shows him in a really vulnerable position, yes, but taken to a level that is like believable.
Exactly.
Like, of course he's taking a shower before his girlfriend comes over because they are going to have coitus.
Because she's been away filming.
Exactly.
Because she's an actress.
And obviously he has nothing, like he doesn't suspect anything. He trusts her.
Yeah.
So why, of course he's going to like drop his towel and be like, I've got a surprise for you. Smack, 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 smack. And of course he has to just stand there and hear this news because she has to get it off her chest. So like, I applaud that scene so much. And I show it to anyone who wants to see something that's like, dude, watch this if you want to see two people breaking up, but it's so fucking funny, but you're also depressed for this person.
It's really, really funny. But what I like though, is that he does manage to come back later in the movie.
Yes.
Like, even though Kristen Bell is being like a manipulative bitch for quite a while of the movie.
Yes.
She does kind of get redemption in a way because he realizes like, oh, I also like wasn't a great boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that takes courage to admit something like that, 'cause it would have been a really easy movie to just be like, fuck her.
She
sucks.
Yeah.
She's a slut.
Whoa there, Nelly.
So he realizes eventually at the end, he's just like, yeah, I wasn't a great boyfriend either. And like, she was a pretty good girlfriend, but we also just aren't compatible.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. And she didn't understand his Dracula musical.
Yes.
What the fuck, man?
I just don't get it.
Peter, it's so good. I just don't get it. No. Don't play it again.
You don't have to play it again.
I mean,
also, this was the movie that like introduced Russell Brand to the world.
It was. And then they made another movie called Get Him to the Greek.
Incredible film.
About this character.
Yes. Plus Jonah Hill. But not as the same character Hill played in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And let me say, Jonah Hill, one of the best parts of this movie.
So good. He's an aspiring musician. He's like, please listen to my demo.
He plays a waiter at, or not even like a seating host.
He plays a host
at the
restaurant at the resort.
Yes.
And he just makes it a point to make everything awkward.
Yes.
Like, is a massive fan of Russell Brand's character, is constantly asking him to do shit or asking him for advice or coming at the most inopportune times to like deliver him coconut cake from the hotel. Wank, wank. Like, and he makes it so fucking awkward when Jason Segel like pops up over to the table and is like, table for one, baby. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, that's so fucking sad. Yeah. Like, aren't you going to be so bored sitting there by yourself? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like, horrible. It's so good. Everyone is a perfect vehicle for their own flavor of chaos.
Yes. I also like Mila Kunis in this movie because she's like the perfect foil to Kristen Bell, like aesthetically and also in terms of her character.
Yeah.
And they make that like abundantly clear.
Yeah.
So initially you're like, oh, he's rebounding with someone who's just like so different from her. But like she doesn't allow herself to be, I guess, the vehicle through which he processes his breakup.
It's true.
And that's really nice to see, especially in our year 2008.
Yeah, I love seeing the boundaries where she's like, I'm not going to be like your rebound. Your rebound.
Your rebound.
Your rebound. I'm not going to be that.
Yeah.
And she just makes it so abundantly clear from the beginning that like she's not, and she, when she says she's not that type of girl, she doesn't mean like I'm not like other girls. She means like I work at this hotel and I live on this island and you don't, bro. Like we're not gonna form this bond.
Yeah.
And you can go back to wherever you live and it's gonna be fine. Like we're just here to have fun. We're not trying to make things complicated. Like that is what I really appreciate about her character is that she's not like, I'm in love with you, but I'm not like other girls. She's like, I do not love you. And I also don't like you like that.
She also has her own shit going on. Cause she's like, even though this is like a paradise, I had a horrible breakup here and things suck sometimes.
Yes.
So like, you can't just like come here and try to escape and try to like take out your rebound feelings on me. Like things are real.
Shit's real, shit's dog. Real. My boobs are on a picture. At the bathroom of this one place.
Oh, that's a great
And there's
scene.
Nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And life, it blows on this island.
Life sucks.
God, it's not all Moana.
It's not all Moana.
Moana, make room, make room. Man, I love that movie.
Moana's great. We should have done that instead.
Oh, God.
Unexpected love.
With whom?
Maui and Moana.
That is gross.
I mean, not like romantic love.
He's like 60.
Not, well, I could argue he's infinite.
You're right. He's infinity. He's eight sideways.
So he's really just eight?
He's eight.
I love this movie.
Man, it's so good. I just, to be honest with you, I don't know what to say about this movie other than the fact that
it's
you
amazing.
Need to go watch this go watch fucking
it.
Movie.
It'll make you laugh.
There's so much in this movie that is just like these little nuggets of perfection, of comedy gold.
Yeah. Oh, if you're a Valentine's Day cynic as well, I think this is like a perfectly nice balance. Kind of romantic movie that also explores a breakup in like a very real way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you would like this if you're going through something in this tough time. Watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I feel you though. I watch this movie every Valentine's Day. This is like my only Valentine's Day ritual.
Cute.
But not for any pretty, like I don't spend Valentine's Day doing Valentine's Day things.
Yeah.
It's not for lack of desire. I like chocolates as much as the next person.
You like it's Lindt just, to be specific.
Yeah, I like Lindor chocolates.
I have one in my purse.
Oh, so good. But yeah, it's not even that. It's just like they always end up being on like a Tuesday or something.
It is on a Monday this year.
I work a lot.
And she hates love. It's just how it is.
You're right.
You just hate that shit.
I don't believe in L-O-V-E.
Get it out of here.
L is for the way you look at me.
Bring it home.
The sugar.
Or oh, I smelled. Oh. I said LV.
Oh no, Louis Vuitton.
Oh no,
man, rest in peace, Virgil.
Oh yeah, that is sad. Actually,
Moment of sigh over.
Okay, Monica, we have a question this week.
We do have a question this week
because we also have a special audience member.
We have a special audience member. I wish that you could do the thing that Aaron does, where he like pushes a button and someone applauds.
We have a special audience member today.
Yeah.
Applause, 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 applause.
my boyfriend Sebastian is here watching us record.
The artist formerly known as the Crab on this podcast. Yeah,
but we'll call him by his Christian name.
Call me by your name.
Sebastian.
Once or twice.
Okay, he has a Valentine's Day themed question for you.
My question is, what movie is like a good aphrodisiac in your opinion? You know, you watch it, you start sweating behind the ears.
And then you want a bone?
Yeah.
I have my answer.
Go for it.
Oh, Monica? God. You're so, wow.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay, go share.
Body Heat.
No.
It's a great movie.
Never seen it.
It's incredible. It's a crime movie.
It's like Bath and Body Works.
Noirish. I forget the actors. William Hurt. And who's the woman in it? Kathleen Turner. Okay, so it's like it's a neo noir movie. It's set in the '80s, in like Miami, I think. So everything is like foggy and damp, and like you can feel the fucking sweat in this movie. And this guy, he's a detective, but he falls in love with this woman, and then he gets mixed up in this case about this missing woman, and it's like they fall in love kind of and have a really sexual relationship, but then she's also somehow involved in the crime. It's so good. Must watch. Must see.
I guess my answer would be Y Tu Mamá También.
Oh, that is a sexy movie, except it's sad because she dies.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of a little bit like apprehensive about it, because like, yeah, but also no. I don't know. That is a difficult question.
What movie feels sexy?
I guess like Mulholland Drive.
Okay.
I don't know, dude. I'm giving the worst answers. Maybe like, honestly, it'd have to be a boring ass movie.
What movie?
For me to want to do something else other than watch it, I guess. To be honest, I'm being completely serious. Like any boring fucking movie, I'm trying to think about scenarios in which I didn't watch the movie and did something else, and so I'm like,
50 Shades of Grey. That's her answer, and she's embarrassed by it, so she's not saying.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I've never seen it.
It's not good. The sex scenes are good, not in like a way
like
where
you get
you excited.
Way?
It's like in a way where you're just like, this is well choreographed. People are putting thought into this.
Oh, I'm sure. Ooh, I guess like Suspiria.
Okay.
I really love that movie.
That's a sexy movie.
That's a sexy movie.
That's a sexy meatball.
Oh man, the meatball is so sexy. These are my answers, like Y Tu Mamá También, Mulholland Drive, Suspiria.
So Monica likes her sex with a side of terror.
Eraserhead. I'm just kidding.
Eraserhead.
The Muppets is pretty sexy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Who do you think is the sexiest Muppet? This is my Valentine's question.
Ooh, Swedish Chef.
Okay.
The man can cook.
Okay. Okay.
Ooh, oh, Pepe.
Is that the shrimp?
Yeah.
Okay, 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 okay. All right.
You know, fry him up a little. Some cocktail sauce.
Put it on some scampi. Little butter.
Little butter, butter. In my bubble bath. We've got ourselves a shipwreck.
Okay. Monica, what have you dabbled in?
What have I dabbled in?
Davy Jones. Davy Jones, will you be my Valentine?
William Turner. I know you hate it.
I love it and I hate it.
You're a liar and you're fucking on my ship.
The pot.
What is it? What does he say? He's just like, William Turner, you fucking... You fucked up my life.
The F word is not in it. Oh. This is not an episode of Succession starring Davy Jones.
He's just like, William Turner, you're a liar and you'll spend an eternity on this ship. It's so good.
Oh my God.
Man, I love Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, Monica, what have you dabbled in?
Oh man, what haven't I dabbled in?
Tell us.
I very recently hosted...
Uh-huh.
AKA, well, when was this? Last night? 2 nights ago? I hosted.
Yeah.
That was
Pizza
it.
Night?
Yeah, it was Pizza Night.
Yeah, it was Pizza Night.
That was it. I didn't really host. Nah, I didn't host. It was just Pizza Night.
You hosted in the sense that we came to your home.
Other than that, I wasn't hosting anyone.
You lit a candle.
Dude, I fucking forgot tea today. I don't think that I'm the hostest with the mostest.
You're the hostest with the leastest.
I have nothing. I have nothing. Nothing.
My nephew was born this week. That's exciting. Yes,
that
me.
Is a dabble. You dabbled in childbirth.
No, I dabbled in being an aunt.
You dabbled in labor.
I gave birth, everyone. Surprise.
Wow. I don't know how it. I think I sweat a little bit thinking about that.
I know it's scary, huh?
Maybe nor.
Maybe not right now. Nor. Yeah. Anyway, so I have a new nephew. He's very cute.
I'm gonna get him a tiny xylophone.
Teeny tiny xylophone. Because his older brother has a slightly bigger xylophone that Monica gave
from
him.
From me, I purchased a xylophone to feed my hunger, and it was on Amazon.
Your hunger for what?
The tunes. Tunes, baby.
The hunger for jazz.
For marimba. And so I bought a xylo on Amazon. It was called Child Xylophone.
Well, you are
that
a
was
child,
the listing.
So.
It was on Prime. It had like 1,000 reviews, and I was
child
like,
"Child the phone,
fuck yeah!" And so I bought it, played with it for maybe 1 minute exactly, and then gave it to Jessica's eldest nephew,
the eldest
named Lucas.
Lucas.
It's like Luca with an S.
Yeah,
it's better. That
or
movie
like
was terrible.
Luke with a oof.
That was a bad movie. Luca, did you not see Luca?
Sebastian liked Luca.
You liked it? Dude, I fucking fell asleep. It was so goddamn boring. No. They got to the town and I was like, oh shit.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the mermaid movie.
I don't know that I like, you know what? I don't like the ocean.
Yeah, I don't either, to be fair.
I don't like it. It's too deep.
Under the sea, no thank you.
No thank you. crab walk away, baby.
All right, Monica. Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, to your significant others. And not to your significant others because they just dumped you. And we stand in solidarity.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Stand in solidarity. Watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, you'll love it. You'll get over that breakup real quick.
Uh-huh.
As always,
don't sue us, Daddy Favreau.
Goodbye, Monica.
Goodbye. Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye.